Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 7th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 of 2. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country, and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth is in order. Kirk Cosby's on the road, and with me, welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Stan.
You're very welcome, sir. You've heard of the Rolling Stone Rape Magazine article, right, Kurt?
Yes.
All right. Well, now they've proven it to be completely bogus. There is no evidence. They failed journalism 101, if you will. And it's all coming out, and Rolling Stone's like, golly jeepers, we're so sorry we didn't vet this story like we should have. The author's saying, golly, I didn't, you know, cross the I's and dot the T, or cross the T's and dot the I's and all that kind of stuff. And man, it's just tragic. It's horrible. And now the fraternity that this was written about says that it will pursue legal action against Rolling Stone magazine. Now, this is very serious, Kurt, but I got some questions about this. You know me, Sam Bushman with the questions, huh? Do you really think for one second that Rolling Stone magazine just did not dot the I's and cross the T's? Now, let me just explain something about the news business so everybody understands. When you are a reporter, you do a bunch of research for an article. And when you do a bunch of research for an article, others verify your research. Okay, they're called fact checkers, Kurt. You ever heard of a fact checker? And the fact checkers are supposed to take an article that a given talented author writes, and they're supposed to go fact check that dude before it gets released to make sure that, hey, they don't get, quote, schnookered. And then you have final editors that review it and put the final touches on the article, Kurt, and they're supposed to do a little bit of, quote, due dilly on the thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this question. Do you think for one second that they really just didn't dot the I's and cross the T's, that golly jeepers, they're so, so sorry, Kurt. It was an oversight, well-intended, but nevertheless an oversight. They say Rolling Stone failed journalism 101. That's USA Today money section, Kurt.
Well, here's at least one of the things, one of the factors in this story, in my opinion, is that you pretty much can't question when an individual, especially of the female persuasion, if an individual says something happened, especially when it's about some evil that a man perpetrated, you can't question them. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're just somehow you're, I don't know what the phrase is, but you've committed some other sin. Never mind the fact that occasionally there are lies that are spread this way. But, you know, they say that you pretty much, it's almost the whole racism thing, Sam, that we see in the media so often, that if someone is white, pretty much they're racist. It's just how it is. And you know, in this case, in my opinion, maybe Rolling Stone will pay some for, well, whatever you call it, faulty reporting or whatever. But in my opinion, they've gotten much out of the coverage of it. Simply, you know, I think Rolling Stone, like most printed magazines or printed kind of things, are going away. And I'm sure they've gotten some pretty good, you know, media attention from it.
Yeah, it's kind of like having Monica Lewinsky save Barbara Walters' TV show kind of thing, you know?
Well,
It's like, come on.
Like it to me, right?
Yeah, now they say this. Just so you know, there was co-authors in the story, which means even greater research should be done. They say that what the lessons we learned from this is you just don't roll with the story until you have it completely nailed down. The reporting lapsed in great detail. Okay? The most elementary procedures for confirming information were blatantly ignored. And that's squarely on the shoulders of the editors of Rolling Stone magazine. Now, here's the problem. They say the buck stops with the leadership of the magazine. Kurt, do you believe that?
Well, you know, at least in my opinion, the buck would really stop at the ownership of the magazine. And yet, when you factor in this thing, imagine, let's say the editors questioned that this lady, you know, I'd probably use that term loosely, but questioned her story in the beginning. Well, that could have literally been a story in a story about how Rolling Stone editors are insensitive to the, what would you say, to sexual harassment of women or whatever. Do you see where I'm going?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm convinced this was not a mistake at all. In fact, I personally believe it was let roll. In other words, it was let through and intentionally not vetted, and they felt like this. Our magazine's on the ropes, like all other magazines in print copy. We're going to melt down if we don't do something to shake it up, baby. And you know what? Even if we get caught in a scandal, it's okay, because we always come out on the other side of scandals doing fine. I mean, Monica Lewinsky's a rock star now for what? Having an affair with the president, folks. Okay, we can go on and name situation after situation where somebody's a rock star because of a scandal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so they're saying, you know what? The negative in our society where there's no real accountability and there's no real call for morality or stand for morality, hey, we don't care if there's a scandal. It'll put us on top of the news ratings. And you know what? We can recover from this. All we got to say is, we let some mid-level head roll. We really say how sorry we are to the American people, and this will never happen again. And golly, we put things in place to make sure this doesn't happen again, Kurt. We're actually going to have fact checkers like we were supposed to have all along.
Yeah.
Okay. But really, I think this, on a higher level, Kurt, denotes this agenda. Let me lay this out. I think that the agenda was to do a powerful piece on the, quote, so-called problem of rape or campus rape. Okay? So they had this extreme sympathy for the victim, extreme sympathy, and they just simply said, you know what? We're rolling with this because we want to promote this rape thing. Okay? And there's rape everywhere, Kurt. In fact, you're probably almost to be raped right now. You don't know it, but it's going to happen.
Yep.
Okay? Now, I know that's an extreme statement, except to make the point that that's what they want you to believe, that rape's just happening everywhere.
Yep.
All the time. And number one, it's an absolute huge lie. When you really study the rape statistics, it's not even close to what they claim in the mainstream press, Kurt, not even close. So I submit to you that not only were they negligent, not only do they need something to try to bring their magazine into the limelight, but on a bigger picture, they want to promote this agenda. You know what? I mean, virtually any time a woman is sexually involved, Kurt, it's a rape.
Yeah, good point.
Unless it's lesbian or some kind of... perverted sex. Like, if it's Monica Lewinsky and the temptress of the president, so to speak, then it's legitimate, Kurt. Any kind of anything that's not legitimate, sanctioned by God, appropriate family relations, then that's okay. Otherwise, it's frowned upon. But you have a wife, that means you're virtually, in essence, a white male racist rapist, Kurt. Right now, because that's who you are. You can't help it. See, they're embracing conclusions before they even know enough to form them. Okay? And the same lack of skepticism helped paralyze the fact checkers, they claim.
You know, the one thing that came to mind for me when you're telling the story is how many times, have we seen this in the, for example, the pharmaceutical world, where you'll hear about a blockbuster drug that's, going to address all our ills. You know, let's just take Prozac, for example, or, you know, some antidepressant kind of thing. And then, several years later, after the drug company has made a few billion, you know, and that kind of thing, then, man, you see these ads and hear these commercials about these different attorneys that are telling all the, those who've suffered using this and have lost whatever, wives, children, families, or hearts or something, to contact them for reparations, you know.
I personally think Rolling Stone should be drumbeat out of business over this, and so should all the propaganda pieces that make rape front and center when it should not be. Do we have a problem? Yes, we do. Is it what they make it out to be? Not even maybe. How about the truth?
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so I want to make this very clear before we finish the topic on this belligerent Rolling Stone article. Rolling Stone failed journalism 101. See, that's what the mainstream press believes. I don't believe that. I believe this was intentional and calculated to promote rape is front and center. The problem is it backfired. They expected nobody to really catch them. How many times does the mainstream press roll forward with bogus information intentionally and not really worry about it until they get caught? In my He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules presentation, I even document that reality. When they get caught, they're like, oh my goodness, sorry about that. We didn't mean to. It was an unintentional oversight. But how many times does that happen and they don't get caught, Kurt? Rolling Stone fails journalism 101, says USA Today. Fraternity says that it will personally or it'll pursue all legal action against Rolling Stone magazine, ABC News. Do you know what a fact checker is my question. Okay, they didn't do this by mistake, Kurt. I submit to you that it was intentional. And the real goal is to promote this rape everywhere idea that rape's just going on everywhere. Now, let me make this very clear. Just because I think that they have this feminist type agenda and they're pushing this unfairly and against what the statistics really show, I think that's wrong. But I also think it's wrong to ignore rape and to suggest that any woman claims rape that it isn't true. There is certainly a heightened sexual problem in our society. And certainly women become the victims many times. And I think it's horrible and tragic, and there's no excuse. Except for I would basically attack the mainstream press and say, you make everything sexual, folks. Don't do that. It's wrong. And when women dress inappropriately, that's wrong too. Now, that's no excuse for rape. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not suggesting that it is. But I am suggesting that you, make society more and more and more promiscuous, more and more sexually charged all the time. And you know what? There's going to be those examples. And if you'd back off on making everything a sexual scenario and have some decency where, you know what, calling on a woman was an appropriate thing. You'd never want to sully her character or whatever. And so you always want to be in public and be appropriate. And, you know, back to the good old days of the way we used to treat women would be in order, in my opinion. Not dating, but courting would be in order. Asking permission would be in order. Being introduced would be in order. All these things that we used to have that protected women should be in place. But right now we want to put women on the front lines in foxholes with men and wonder why things go wrong. We want to sexually charge men with pornography and then wonder why he can't treat a woman properly. Okay, we've got this problem in society, this disconnect. And so I'm not dismissing the serious, serious issue in any way. But I say both sides are extreme. The complete dismissal is belligerent. Also, so is the everything is a rape charge is belligerent on the other side. What about a reality check in the middle? And what about using God's guidance for the appropriate sexual relationship as our starting point? That would be my humble suggestion. That would be what I would recommend. And when we talk about fact checking, they've been failing the fact checking reality when they push this agenda for a long time, folks. Let's not pretend this is something new or something out of the ordinary or something that you hadn't counted on. That's bogus. Right? All right, it's his bad, Kurt. Jeb Bush says he's not Hispanic. Did you know that? Now, I guess what
yeah,
happened is...
made an error on his, what, some form he clicked that he was...
What happened is Jeb Bush marked on a voter registration form that he was Hispanic, and now he's apologizing for doing that, Kurt. It's his bad, and he's sorry. Now, what do you think, Kurt?
Yeah. Well... You know, it's all part of the whole, figure out how to get the most votes, figure out how to get the coverage. You know, I predict he's going to do something else as often as possible because basically he's kind of getting, not much coverage, lately. But the insiders want him. He and Hillary, will be their choices. We'll all be treated to some, rather lively presidential hopeful politicians earlier. But in the end, that's what will be offered up, in my opinion.
I think you're right. And I personally think, remember how I told you the media just moves forward with their lies to promote agendas unless they're caught. Then they apologize and say, golly, we'll fix it. We'll take care of business. We're so, so, so sorry. But I believe it's a lie and intentionally driven many times. And they just know most of the time they don't get caught. And when they do, they're, all too willing to apologize. In fact, Sean Hannity, in his admission when he aired fake video, he even kind of alluded to, sorry, you caught us. We're not really sorry that we did it, but we're sorry that you caught us. Now, he didn't say that, but that's the kind of feeling that I walk away from or with when I watch that. Now, anyway... I bring this all up, though, to say I believe Jeb Bush is doing the same thing, Kurt. If you mark Hispanic on a form, and a lot of people don't really know, and you speak fluent Spanish, see, he speaks fluent Spanish, Jeb Bush does, and he's married to a Mexican woman. I'm not going to say she's not American or not legally here. I'm not playing games like that. I'm just saying that she is Latino. then, you know, you might just say, hey, I'm Hispanic, and a lot of Hispanics will believe it. You might get away with it. See, Hillary's leading Jeb Bush when it comes to Hispanics in the polls right now. And so I think Jeb Bush might have done that just in hopes that it would garner him some support, and it might spread the word around that he's Hispanic or whatever, and might not get challenged, you see, Kurt. And now that it got challenged, he's going to apologize and go, golly, that was an oversight. I don't know how that happened, for crying out loud. So, in my opinion, maybe it was a calculated. It might help me in the polls, and if I get caught, I'll just say sorry. Didn't mean to misstep there. Sorry, I stepped in that cow dung. Didn't mean to. But don't worry, I'll clean it off my boot. It's okay. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it, though, is, Kurt, look, if I could just wake up tomorrow and be a female, can't I wake up tomorrow and just be Hispanic, buddy? Especially if I speak fluent Spanish and I'm married to a Spanish woman. Can't I do that? Or a Hispanic woman?
The problem that Jeb has is he's really a white guy, and he is a man, and so you don't get really any of that, opportunity, you know, if you're, now, at least he hasn't said he's going to switch genders or whatever. If he started there, then maybe he would get.
He could just say, I've decided that I identify more with the Hispanic community. I speak fluent Spanish. I mean, I even believe English is kind of my second language, even though I learned it first, but it comes secondary to me right now. I'm just telling you. And I want to be, I mean, my woman is Hispanic, and my kids are half Hispanic, and therefore I just identify more with Hispanics than I do my own flesh and blood. And so, I really think that you guys can't reject me from the Spanish election. I like to be Spanish. Can't
That's
you just do that?
Point,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're gonna take hormones and the government's gonna pay for gender reassignment surgery, can't he just learn Spanish as fluently as possible and then just put on the forms that he's Spanish? I mean, what's the difference between putting on a voter form saying that you're Hispanic, Kurt, versus doing gender reassignment therapy? I mean, it's all the same thing. You're just trying to put things in place to be what you really are, Kurt.
Yep, great point.
But don't worry.
I mean, somebody's going to have to file a lawsuit and say, hey, man, that's not fair. You make me sure I might look like a Caucasian, but I don't feel like one.
You might have my DNA at the registry or
Ancestry.com
saying that I'm not Latino, but I'm telling you right now, they don't even know. I'm just saying. And not only that, Kurt, I kind of wonder this too. You know, what is Hispanic, Kurt, or Latino? Is there a difference between a Hispanic and a Latino?
Well, at least that's where, you know, you just, it's a slippery slope. And, typically it's been somebody south of the border. The only problem with that little kind of deal is you got all of Brazil that has people that speak Portuguese, which at least typically doesn't get kind of thrown in with the Hispanic kind of things.
Good point.
Because it's not Spanish.
No, hold on. You got a bunch of German people that went to Mexico and they speak fluent German and fluent Mexican, or Spanish, I should say. Mexican version of Spanish is why I say that. What are they? They're white. They're of European descent from Germany, but yet they speak German and Spanish. And Kurt, they're Mexicans, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Now, I know they're not Latino, but they are Mexicans. I mean, they're Mexican citizens, ladies and gentlemen.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt on your radio this half hour is brought to you in part by ThePowerMall.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have you checked out the Power Mall recently? They've got incredible products, health products to natural health and healing foods, incredible books and DVDs. Everything relates to liberty, to you and your family, and your freedom. Just incredible stuff. ThePowerMall.com. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. And check out their list of products. What I like to do is go to their page. And then I click on Master List of Products. And you got all the products there. You can check them out. You can get prices. They've got specials going on all this week. And the specials are incredible. You can get discounts on Sheriff Richard Mack's books and DVDs, conference DVDs of the CSPOA conferences, and a whole lot more. It's fantastic. Anyway, check that out, thepowermall.com. All right, Kurt, so we're talking about this Hispanic thing with Jeb Bush. I'm convinced he did it on purpose, just saying, hey, if I don't get caught, it'll help me in the polls, but if I get caught, I'll just say sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. That seems to me to be what's going on. It's tragic. All right, Viacom's in the news, Kurt. Isn't that a rich company?
Well, yes, it's, you know, it says the report from the LA Times says they're going to do a, what is it, $785 million write-down. You know, now, I don't know if you want to translate this for folks, but what basically is happening here, the media company that well has TV networks including MTV and Nickelodeon, you know, as well as others, they've suffered dramatic ratings decline, and the company's stock has dropped nearly 18%. So what they're doing, they say, is to write down the that means adjust for the diminished value of the television shows that have performed poorly in the ratings. Now they say reality TV shows and acquired programs made up the bulk of the charge. and they disclosed it in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing. In the past, the TV company could wring profits from shows through repeat airings of episodes, but reality TV shows in particular perform poorly after the initial telecast and thus have a limited shelf life, they say. But they've done some severance costs and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you've got this New York media company that's controlled by billionaire Sumner Redstone. It also owns Paramount Pictures, movie studios, cable networks, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, and Spike. You know, and it goes to your presentation, Sam, about he who owns the media makes the rules. They do say that Viacom said the restructuring is going to ultimately save the company $350 million annually, but it's going to start out saving them $175 million annually. Do you have any comments about this story, Steve?
Yeah, the first comment I have is this. If they're going to take a big write-down, what that means is they're just going to basically write off a bunch of debt, and they're not going to be responsible for it, right? All right.
Well,
so if it's,
at least they're going to say, you know, these things that we did think were so much value, hey, they aren't that much
that's
anymore.
Right. All right. So here's the deal. If they're going to take a $385 million write-down, why not make it $390 and give me five or so? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the big deal? Just throw a couple extra five on there for me. They could write out a check for me. I'd be glad to cash it. That's number one. But number two, they talk about a restructuring, Kurt.
Yep.
And my question about the restructuring is this. Are they restructuring because they're successful, Kurt?
That's what, you know, in my opinion, is the real story behind the story. You've got the Netflixers, the Hulus, the, you know, all these other boys that are showing up on the scenes. And basically, they're giving the old media boys more than a run for their money. In my opinion.
And I'm submitting to you that this restructuring and this quote write-down is just a way to say we're failing. However, we don't want to admit that we're failing. We'll just tell you there's some shows that aren't going that well, but give us a chance to retool and we're still the behemoth that we always thought we were. And I submit to you that that isn't true. I submit the write-down should probably be a lot bigger. Whether they should even have the wherewithal to continue would be questionable. Maybe since the reality TV shows that they think are so hot are failing on the quote shelf life scenario, maybe what they ought to do is just put in Liberty Roundtables, Kurt, while they're needing content. What do you think? We just help them out like that. That'd be kind of a fair response for the $5 million they're paying us, Kurt.
Not putting it in, but it's being made available, both Liberty Roundtable and so many other things. Like our buddies there at the Roku channel that you can basically use for so much less money. They offer almost, 2,000 channels now?
Well, that's what the $5 million can be for, is to be able to put, you know, Liberty Roundtables in the rerun spots, Kurt.
Good point.
You know, we'd make it fair for them and everything. We'd give them a good deal.
The new media taking center stage, as you always say, right?
The other fascinating thing about it is this. Instead of admitting that their reality TV shows are bogus, the only reason people are even attracted to him, Kurt, is this mortified fascination with anything that's problematic. There seems to be this attraction to that. They're capitalizing on that. It doesn't last long. At first, people are mortified. They want to kind of check it out, but pretty soon they're sickened by that, bread and circus kind of scenario. So maybe if they were to put together some real news programs, some real entertainment programs, maybe they could hire me as a consultant, Kurt. I could help them out with that. All right, speaking of that, maybe they ought to cover this story too, Kurt. They're talking about, you've heard of smart meters, right?
Yep.
Well, now they got smart traffic lights they're trying to roll out, Kurt. And the smart traffic lights, they say, would save time and the environment. And you know how these things work?
No.
All right. These smart traffic lights, here's what the idea is. They would have a full computer in them so they'd be intelligent, Kurt. And then what you would do is you would basically develop a reality of traffic patterns in a given, city. And then instead of having the lights go off on just timed cycles, Kurt, they would go off based on traffic realities. In fact, I think, again, it always comes down to they got a good reason, a good purpose to put these in place. At first, it sounds neat, and then pretty soon the devil's in the details. But nevertheless, here's an idea, Kurt. Let's say that you got, you know, two roads, Fourth and Vine, just for example. And Fourth Street, everybody goes. And Vine, hardly anybody goes. So there's 10 times the traffic on Fourth Street than Vine, and there's an intersection there. What they would do is they would calculate the light to basically, on the, those traffic patterns, make sure that, hey, when a bunch of cars are rolling, that it would let those cars go through more timely. Because, see, what's happening is you're sitting at a stoplight, Kurt, and your car's just spewing off those toxins and ruining the environment, contributing to global warming and such. And so if we could just blast those people on 4th Street through more, even if the people on Vine had to wait a little bit, as long as less cars wait, Kurt. So all decisions will be made based on this, quote, environmental context, where you say, hey, the whole goal, well, is to reduce toxic emissions. And if you can get somewhere faster in the process, Kurt, that's a good idea. So smart technology being put into smart traffic lights, Kurt. I'm not very excited about that. Now, I know it sounds,
you know,
cool at first.
You were going to talk about, I saw a story just a little while back about, I guess you could buy some gadget that will basically allow you to change the light. At least I was like, man, really? We've seen it in movies or
they'll
whatever.
Have to pass along, give you a fine for that, Kurt.
Yeah. They say, I guess car and driver says, or the MERT traffic light control device changes stoplights from red to green in seconds. So, I haven't really tried one of these, but they say press the red button to experience the MERT firsthand. It changes red lights to green in 2 to 3 seconds. So, I don't really know how this works exactly, but anyway.
Well, imagine an even smarter system, Kurt, where cars communicated with traffic lights using the combined technologies that we're mentioning, where you would say, look, if your car's approaching the intersection and my car's approaching the intersection, I'm on Fourth, you're on Vine. It doesn't matter which road's more trafficked, if you will. The reality is we'd just determine how far away from the light we are GPS-wise and how fast we're going, and we'd just determine who really has the, quote, right of way, Kurt, based on who is there first. First come, first serve scenario, and lights could just change. And if you didn't have humanoids in the middle trying to make decisions, the cars could just be smart enough to decide for themselves if it's their turn to go or not, right, Kurt?
Yeah.
All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt. There's an interesting story in the news, Kurt, that I want to kind of, bring past you. Here's the deal. They tell you the economy's booming. They're looking at full employment almost. I mean, everything's just happening. Except for in the trenches for the average American. There's kind of a dichotomy between what you're experiencing and what they're telling you. It's tragic, but it's getting worse, Kurt. And the headline says this: the economics and nostalgia of dead malls. By Nelson B. Schwartz. And they're talking about all these malls, Kurt. And there, the smell of teriyaki chicken drifts from the food court. It's all happening, but only a handful of stores are open at the sprawling malls. Very few visitors are walking down the long hallways. And they're peering through locked metal gates into vacant spaces. And this one girl that went to the mall, or this lady, she's 46, she went to the mall, she says it's depressing. I guess the shoe store was closed. Well, it was closing. And she was trying on some of the shoes that were on sale before the closing in a couple of weeks. They say, I'm surprised anything is even open at the mall because there's nobody there. Now, real estate professionals, Kurt, are calling this thing dead malls. They say more and more shopping malls are being closed every day. There's 60 shopping malls ready to close. And they say it's a broader trend in remaking the American economy. They say, hey, the working class malls are going with the big chain stores that can't keep up, Kurt. Sears, Kmart, JCPenney's, and more. They hope that affluent Americans will keep going to malls, but there's no real expectation that that will happen. They say there's been very little income growth in the middle-class economy where the mall shoppers come from. Now, what do you think, Kurt? Malls are melting down to where now the real estate industry calls them dead malls. That's the new term. That's the new term for a dying mall. And they say that the location might be a problem. You know, in real estate, location, location, location is the answer. But they say it's more than that. They say some malls will survive, but most of them won't because our society has simply become sick of malls. Everybody's buying on Amazon now. Okay, now they then try to say that online shopping only has a small effect, only 10%. But I don't believe that. They say the fundamental problem for malls is the glut of stores in many parts of the country. In other words, we are extremely overbuilt. They built so many stores that these stores just can't compete. Everybody has memories as a child of going to the mall. But no one really realizes that a mall just might up and die, Kurt. And when people find out that happens, they kind of are shocked. But the bottom line is malls are in trouble and on the ropes, Kurt.
Well,
it's not even clear what the industry can do, they say. Hold on, Kurt.
Yeah.
It's not clear what the industry can even do. So I thought you might tell them what they could do, Kurt.
Well, you know, the whole economic picture, you know, number one thing that they didn't mention in the story is that we don't have an honest money system. So, you know, there's never space for that in the stories about economic problems. But, you know, you've got to address that first, get the honest money, constitutionally sound money back in America. Then, of course, you've got to have the right kind of tax system like we used to have with the tariffs and, you know, the much lower taxes and less regulation and all those kind of things so that the American free enterprise can do those things that it, you know, it does well, and that is provide the most goods and services for the most people in all time, over all periods of time. But, you know, the malls, what, at least in my opinion, you know, this where they're downplaying the online shopping and all that kind of stuff, that's just, well, that's a lie, because that's what's happening and that's what will happen more and more in the future. People want to get something they want, like, for example, the other day, our oldest son, who's, you know, certainly the next generation from us, and that makes perfect sense to some folks. But anyway, he and his wife had a bulb go out on a certain light bulb. Now, instead of just running down to the hardware store and trying to find that sucker, you know, they just go online. Hey, then it'll be there. And they don't have to go to, you know, which store or whatever. They can do it, you know, like in the old days, we used to say, let your fingers do the walking. And that was through the yellow pages, you know. In other words, you didn't really travel so much. You were supposed to just call and find out who had it, and then you went there and got it. But now it's even easier than that. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they addressed the sub or the main problem, and that is honest money and, you know, the breakdown of, well, the American system as it was intended to be.
Well, and I think this overbuilt reality is a serious concern, Kurt. And I kind of just go back to the simple supply and demand scenario on this discussion about dead malls and say this, Kurt. If you've got 20% or 30% or 40% unoccupancy in your mall, and if you've got all these places that have these gates and you can just look through and there's nobody there and all that kind of stuff, and let's say they want like $3,000 for this little space for Joe Blow to start a business, okay? Maybe, just maybe, the thought ought to cross somebody's mind that maybe it's just too expensive. And businesses are looking at their expenses and their revenue stream, and they're going, hey, I can't afford to be in the mall. It's too expensive. And just maybe if they were to drop that $3,000 mall rental or whatever it is to, say, $1,000 or $600, or maybe businesses would go, I could probably handle that. And then if a few businesses could handle it, pretty soon when you go to the mall, you're like, hey, there's actually stores here. I like that. And then maybe, and I'm telling you right now, you cannot ignore the free market reality to this and say, look, it's a supply and demand deal. If there's too many stores at the mall, that's too much supply, Kurt. If there's not enough stores at the mall, there's only demand if, well, there's plenty of demand, but nobody will make the supply possible if it's not economically viable to do so. So maybe these bigwigs that put these malls together and who have invested so much money in these things ought to realize they better take a haircut when it comes to finances and come back and say, look, even if I don't have as much money from my mall as I would like, it's better to have that thing full and generating revenue than empty and decaying on the ground that it sits on. And so to me, it's a very practical approach to this discussion, Kurt. I think you're right about honest money, no question. That's where it starts. You're right about that. But downstream from that becomes the free market. And those who are entrepreneurs will say, if it's viable, I'll do it. If it's not, I won't, Kurt. It's that simple. So I submit to these mall owners across the country, you big wig executive types, why don't you hire me as a consultant for a couple of $1 million and I'll help you. Drop your prices and get your places full. And once business starts to thrive and do well, you might be able to incrementally increase that a little bit. But look, just like the housing market melted down because people were paying too much for houses and they couldn't afford the payments, same thing is true here. Businesses are only going to make sense of that. Radio Shack can't afford that mall space. That Radio Shack's melting down. Same with Sears. Same with JCPenney. Same with Kmart. Same with, I can keep going on and on and on. It's not because those guys are just greedy and getting rich. And man, the poor mall needs a fair piece of that pie. Everybody's suffering. And unless you back into a free market solution and say, let's make it cost effective, you're not going to get anywhere. I would submit to you that what they ought to do is they ought to reduce the amount of space that each store has in the mall and create these tiny storefronts that little individual businesses can own, number one. And number two, that would become show centers so that it's not a problem to buy something online. You go into the show center, you look and touch and feel the product and talk to an expert, and then you buy it online. And if they would encourage that kind of model, Kurt, you could have 10 times the amount of stores in the same mall space, and you'd reward the small company, and you'd also make it possible for the big boys to stay alive. And you would combine the magic of online shopping with delivery to your home, with the ability to touch and feel and you know, familiarize yourself with the product and deal with an expert. You could have it all, Kurt, if these people would think outside the box and use the free market as their economic engine. And I'm telling you right now, if you got a bunch of empty malls, don't they say, what's the mother of invention, Kurt? Necessity?
Necessity.
Well, we have the need to fill this mall up, buddy. Why don't we come to the table? But here's the problem. You got too many governments and too many taxes and too much regulation for anybody to think outside the box and do that. They just can't crack the nut with the abusive taxes and the abusive regulation going on in big cities. And so everybody's hands are tied. And until you get rid of that regulation and bring back the free market, you ain't going to have any winners, sir. I'm just telling you right now. But that is the solution.
Yeah, there you go. The American way, free enterprise. Years ago, we participated in a thing like that. They had this monster building that was just empty. The guy rented it and basically called it the mother, he called it the mini mall. And so you could go in there and build your own little store kind of thing with, you know, you had a 10 by 10 or 20 by 20 or whatever it was. And, you know, it was really enjoyable. People could get together and, you know, you had almost the free enterprise system rebirth, if you will.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They say Rand Paul officially announced his candidacy for president a few minutes ago. Thought I'd tell you that. You got it done, Kurt. So yeah, now you got two contenders on the GOP side of things, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hope it goes well for all those gentlemen. And we'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. That's what we do here at Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com. Turn your phone into a radio anytime, anywhere. It's simple and free. Smile and dial 712-432-5339. LibertyRoundtable.com. Click on Help Us Grow to donate and get involved today, would you please? We the people can restore America with the grace of the Almighty. You going to help? Thanks.